For over 100 years, Jones Topsoil has been part of your community, delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. Slinger Jones, bringing it home to you. Whether you're planting a vibrant flower bed, growing your own vegetables, or giving your lawn a fresh start, be the envy of the neighborhood with topsoil and mulch from Slinger Jones. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, Brendan behind the glass. It is a New Year edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We are back, and we're happy to be back, and we're happy to have you joining us. I can't believe we were off yesterday.
Is this the studio that we do radio out of? I wasn't sure when I walked in. Like, am I in the right place? And who am I working with today?
Yeah, I felt like I should have been working yesterday, that I woke up, now later than usual, and I did my normal, like, prep. Like, I'm dead serious. I did my normal prep for a show. Now, I knew we weren't working, but I was like, you know what? I got nothing better to do. I'm going to get a little bit of a head start for tomorrow.
Nothing better to do? Come on, Jeremy.
Well, I woke up before anybody else woke up.
Did you?
I did. In the house, yeah.
Oh, in the house. I was going to say, because in my house, I can rival.
In the house. Okay. Like, I didn't wake up early by any stretch of the imagination. It wasn't early. I wasn't, you know, welcoming the sun into the day, but I was up earlier than anybody else in the house. How was the break? We've got plenty to get to today.
Yeah,
We haven't seen each other in 2 weeks, and I wish it was four.
That's a good way to start the new year.
There goes
my resolution, because I was going to try and fake it. Now I'm not. Let's go.
How was Christmas? How was the new year? You have any stories to share, fellas?
I know Brendan does. My first and foremost is just the fact that I'll make it short and sweet. The girls had a great Christmas. And to spend the day after Christmas in their pajamas all day playing with their toys and the things that they got and just kind of enjoying everything about Christmas was really cool. And to see them growing up and really kind of embracing everything that goes with Christmas was really neat. So it was real quiet and it was real family oriented, but I think that's the way it should be.
Yeah. We were busy, man. Like, the holidays can be obviously very fun. You see the family, see the loved ones. You get pulled in a lot of different directions.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, we were on the road, went to Oklahoma for a week. So it was taxing. Like, I don't feel rested. You know what I mean?
That's bad when you take a vacation and you come back not feeling rested.
I was thinking about that during the vacation, too. I was like, you know what? This isn't a normal vacation. I don't feel rested.
I've done that for years. Working in the NBA, you never feel rested around the holidays.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I was over-rested this time. Like, I had too much time off. I was chomping at the bit. Even Lisa was like...
I was, too.
She's like, are you excited to get back tomorrow? And I'm like... I would think that it's a taboo to say you're excited to get back to work.
You're always excited to see me.
But I'm looking forward to getting back to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Likewise. It's always cool when you have kids, too, as you know.
Yep.
I mean, Christmas
yep.
is awesome whenever you have kids. The little one, Brandon, baby, still too young to, like, really appreciate it.
Right.
But it's cool to see him, like, around a Christmas tree.
See the
around
lights.
Christmas
and,
presents. Yep. See the lights. Like, yep. he magnified by, or, you know, mesmerized by the lights. It was really cool. I was really blessed to experience it.
Did I tell you that they had the Grinch was making an appearance at the HEB near us?
I saw people on TikTok that had the Grinches come into their house and, like, scare their children.
That's all.
My wife was showing
that. That is so wrong.
It's wrong, but it's hilarious.
Because we walked in, and I had both girls. And immediately, I was like, you guys want a picture with the Grinch? And Taylor was like, yeah, I want a picture with the Grinch. And she got right up there, and she's hugging the Grinch, and I got the picture. And I look, and Maddie's nowhere to be found. And Maddie's got a frown on her face, and she's like stink eyeing the Grinch, and she's like, no, uh-uh. And I'm like, okay. So I put her in the cart, and we go around the corner, and all of a sudden she goes, and I was like, Taylor, that was cool, right? And she goes, yeah, I got a picture with the Grinch. And we're kind of talking it up, and Maddie goes, okay, I think he's all right. Let's go. And I go, what do you mean, let's go? I go, you want the picture? She goes, I want the picture. I go, okay. We come around the corner. The minute she sees the Grinch, he comes at her and goes, hi. And she goes, no. And she points at him and she goes, you get away from me. And she walked to the other side of the cart, and I go, yeah, this isn't going
to
happen.
I got to tell you, I don't have TikTok. My wife does. She was showing them to me. They're hilarious. Are they wrong? Are they mean-spirited? Yeah, probably. Maybe the kids deserved it, but they're hilarious. They're pretty funny. They're worth watching. What about you, Brendan? Brendan, I understand that you were back home. You had a little bit of travel
experience.
Yeah,
I feel like the bahumbug here. Like, it was not great.
Were you flying Southwest?
I was flying Southwest. At least I was trying to fly Southwest. So we talked about it before, how like I was worried about getting home, right?
Yeah.
Had it. Every right to be worried. On my Uber to the airport that the Friday before Christmas.
Why don't you get Blank to drive you?
Why me? You live that way.
No, I don't.
I don't mind Ubering. It's not a big deal. Anyways, I'm Ubering to the airport. On my ride there, the flight is canceled. But I'm committed to making it home.
So did you have the... Okay, so
you were committed
going?
To proving us wrong more than anything
so
else.
Did you keep going or did you have the Uber turn around
nope,
and bring you
I
back?
Kept going.
Okay.
And I rebooked my flight on the Uber. So instead of flying to Nashville, I flew into Chicago.
Okay.
That flight went off. I'd make it to Chicago. Now, I already know it's going to be a nightmare, right? Flights are getting canceled all over the place. So I book a train ride in advance from Chicago to Detroit, thinking if that flight gets canceled, I'll make it on the train ride.
Yeah. It's pretty smart.
That flight does get canceled.
Good Lord.
I Uber to the train station. And, I mean, I had to Uber. It was like negative 30 in Chicago.
Oof.
Uber to the train station. 5:50 p.m. train, supposed to get home by 11 o'clock. Not that bad. Well, we didn't board the train until 11 o'clock.
Man. Mm. What was the holdup? Was late or
for
something?
For a train, yeah.
I mean, all of the trains were running late. It wasn't just us.
I gotcha.
We get on the train. We sit there for 2 more hours. It's now 1 o'clock in the morning. And this is where it gets great, guys. I didn't even tell you guys about this. Finally, 2 hours into sitting on the train, it's 1 a.m. for a 5:50 train ride. We move about 15 feet. And we stop for another hour.
Why? What's going on?
But wait, we start again. We go another 15 feet. We stop again. It's now 3 a.m. and I can see the train station.
Huh.
Finally, around 3 o'clock in the morning, we get going. The whole trip took just about 30 hours.
Did they say why? Did they say why the train was
I don't know why we were delayed in the first place. The reason that we stopped the first two times was the switch was frozen.
Oh.
They had to unfreeze the switch.
They don't de-ice the train like they do
like
with
planes?
I mean, I wish they would have done that in the first six hours.
Even that worries me.
Yeah, I'm always scared about flying in frozen weather.
And guys, I get back home. A day into being back home, 2 days into being back home, I have COVID.
You have COVID.
I spent my whole time back home in my dad's basement watching Netflix by myself.
It's a pretty good vacation.
After a 30-hour travel.
So you couldn't even like face-to-face with the family?
I did by the end of it because, I mean, it was so early on and I was back for like 10 days. But but for like a good week, no, I didn't get to.
You don't sound yourself. Are we sure you still don't have COVID?
I actually tested negative last Thursday. So like I've been pretty good for a while.
You sound like you got a little stuff going on. Doesn't he sound like he has a little stuff going on? Stay behind the glass today.
I will.
Us leave before you leave your studio.
No interaction.
No interaction.
I'm not quite that way. I didn't even notice that you sounded a little nasally.
He does
but,
sound a little nasally.
Okay.
You don't think?
I don't know.
Does Brendan sound sick? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. But I'm glad you got to make it back.
You guys had good holidays.
Was your Southwest thing, though, was that part of the whole Southwest canceling a bunch of flights? Or was this on the front end of
it? No, it was the front end.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, the rest of it, like, they fell apart because of the holiday cancellations. But I was able to avoid all of that. My flight back made it with no issues.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad that the band is back together.
I felt like you did a lot of that just because you knew that we told you and you didn't want us to say I told you so.
No, I think it's the opposite. I think you guys were both like, nah, you got nothing to be worried about. You're going to be fine. I know Jeremy was. I can't remember for sure.
I kept telling you that it'd be safer to plan as much ahead as possible, but
I do remember Jeremy being like, you're going to be fine.
It's
going to be
all
right.
You were fine. You made it home. It took you 30 hours. It took you until the next day, but you made it home. We had a great holiday. I'm glad that both of you did. I hope all of our listeners did.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday to my wife. Lisa's birthday today.
Yeah,
so I want to give the wife a happy birthday shout out. I had to go to get the vegan cake. I got it. It's been secured.
Why did you have to point out that it was vegan?
Because we all know that she's vegan.
We do know that.
Yeah. And so now we know that there's a 4-day wait time for a 6-inch vegan cake, but if you upgrade to a 9-inch vegan cake, you can get it the next day.
Does size matter when it comes to vegan cake?
Size matters with everything, evidently.
Interesting.
There you have it.
So,
my favorite delivery guys out there, though, Dessert Gallery. Love you.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing some cake in.
They have in the past. Yes.
Anyways, we all had great holidays. We hope that you did as well. We had a full show planned for today, and we're still going to get to most of it. But the sports world took a drastic turn last night on Monday Night Football. DeMar Hamlin, which looked like a pretty you know, ordinary hit mm-hmm. for a safety trying to tackle a wide receiver. Took the blow to the heart area, stood up for a second, immediately collapsed, was on the field for a long time. They were administering CPR to Damar Hamlin, took the ambulance a while to get out. We know the story by now. There's so many different like layers of this onion to peel off, whether, you know, the actual like human element of Damar Hamlin, the NFL element, the Skip Bayless element, which was outrageous. But whenever you first saw it, I don't know how like glued in you were to Monday Night Football. I had the Kelvin Sampson show last night, so we ended at 8 o'clock, and as I was leaving the Acme Oyster House, I saw the back end of Damar Hamlin still on the field and then being carried off by the ambulance, by being driven off by the ambulance. So I saw like the tail end of it, and as soon as I got in the car, I put it on the Hulu and was listening to it on the way home, listening to the ESPN coverage, things like that. But I was glued in the rest of the night. Like, I was captivated to what was happening to Damar Hamlin from the moment I saw it at 8 o'clock until the moment I went to sleep.
No doubt, I was flipping back and forth between the Rockets game and happened to flip back right as the play happened, and then replayed it multiple times because I was at first trying to figure out like what actually could, did he take a blow to the head? Once I realized he didn't take a blow to the head, and then as it progressed, I was sick to my stomach. I was really severely worried for about everything that was going on and how it was all going to unfold. That I couldn't turn it off. I think we stayed up till that past almost midnight. Lisa and I were both watching the coverage, just hoping that the guy was okay.
The immediate reaction I had too is I didn't feel that, you know, it was like this vicious blow, right? Like, it was obviously something that it was the sweet spot. We still don't really know what happened. We understand that he went into cardiac arrest, that they were able to stabilize the heartbeat before they got him into the ambulance, and he's currently in critical condition after suffering the cardiac arrest. We've been around sports for a very long time. We travel with teams. We're at games a ton. We've both seen thousands of games over the course of our career. I've never seen CPR on a field. I know that you've seen CPR on the court.
I have.
I want to get your thoughts on that. And also, like, where my mind went to whenever I first saw this too, because there are some certain, you know, chronicles that I've seen being at events and sports games, especially football games, that I immediately related this to. 713-780-ESPN. What were you thinking? What were your feelings as you saw the Damar Hamlin stuff happening? The coverage, were you watching the coverage? All of that. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Everything got shaken up last night. Damar Hamlin suffering a cardiac arrest during Monday Night Football late in the first quarter. A lot of scary scenes. I mean, you saw Stephon Diggs crying, Josh Allen. Everybody was incredibly emotional throughout. We saw Stephon Diggs end up going to the Cincinnati airport or the Cincinnati hospital to check up on his teammate Damar Hamlin. We don't know a whole lot. We know that he's in critical condition. We know that he suffered the cardiac arrest. We have some experiences that stick out to us. Whenever I see something like that happen on the field, there are certain experiences that stand out to me. Before we get into those, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Keith, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
My nephew is an athletic trainer for the Chicago Bears. So when the event started, of course, I immediately called him to get his perspective. And the way he explained it to me was that the chest area of the shoulder pads are designed to take the blunt force, but it hit him just right to where that blunt force stopped the heart. And because the adrenaline is what made him have the ability to get back up like everything was fine. But once that adrenaline zapped in like 1 second, then his legs gave out and he passed out. I've watched someone have a stroke, and it wasn't something that I ever wanted to do again. That's the same feeling I got last night watching that. But I'm glad you guys are back, and I hope y'all have a good year.
Appreciate it, Keith. Thanks, Happy Keith. New Year Appreciate to you, it, too. Thanks for the insight. Immediately, I thought it was a sweet spot thing because it wasn't like a vicious blow that we've become accustomed to in the NFL, right? Like, it was a pretty routine hit on T. Higgins. He stands up for a moment and then out. I've never seen CPR administered on the athletic arena, whether it's a field, whether it's a court, anything like that. Have you ever had an experience where you've seen something like that?
Yeah, and ironically, my buddy Bob Schranz, who was our assistant PR director for the Rockets, was with the Oilers, but also was the head PR person for the Comets. We had a playoff game against Utah, a deciding game three in Compact Center, and I believe the official's name was Bill Stokes. And right before halftime, he collapsed on the floor.
Mm.
And they did CPR. And then, thankfully, under the Comets bench was a defibrillator. And they brought the defibrillator right there on the court. It was eerie to me what I was watching last night because there were so many similarities to what happened in Compact Center. And they used the defibrillator. And they later said without the defibrillator, he probably would not have made it. They ended up taking him to the hospital. He ended up having multiple bypass surgery, and he survived. But I can remember how, you know, Bob was texting me last night while he's a Bills fan, and we were initially talking about the game.
Yeah.
Then this went down, and he was like, oh, my God, you remember? And I go, oh, God, yeah, that's right. When they were trying to – everybody was trying to remember, have you ever been through something like this? Has it happened in sports? And I'm saying – it happened right in the Compact Center.
Yeah, I think there was a referee in the NCAA tournament. Was it last year or two years ago that passed out?
Collapsed.
I think it was the COVID year, actually.
Yeah.
Whenever there was anybody in the stands where he was, he collapsed. It turned out to be all right. Of course, the ones that happened in the city that we remember when I wasn't there physically was the Gary Kubiak right at the end of the first half and had to get transported to the hospital during halftime. The Larry Durker one is one that, quite frankly, I didn't remember a whole lot. And then I saw Paul tweeting about it, and then it triggered my memory on that, where they had to suspend the game and reschedule the rest of that game. The ones that I've had experience with usually are, head injuries. I've been at many high school football games and in some college football games too, where there's that trauma to the head, the trauma to the neck, where they bring out the stretcher, they bring out the ambulance. I've seen it. I've been at a high school game where they had a lifeline, a player out. All of those turned out to be okay. Like they were all out of, trying to be proactive, going through the security measures, all of that. The one that my mind immediately went to was DJ Hayden at the University of Houston.
Oh, right, with the cart?
With the what?
What, didn't he hit the cart too?
That was Edwards, the receiver, that the Marshall game where he ran into the cart.
I remember DJ
shattered
Hayden,
his leg
he
in
had
half.
Something.
DJ Hayden. So this happened during practice. So I wasn't there.
That's right.
But my memory is pretty good on this. And I've seen, DJ Hayden around. I've been with DJ Hayden whenever he's hugged Doc O'Shea, warding Doc O'Shea for his actions whenever this happened. This was at a practice. DJ Hayden, U of H corner, who eventually went in the first round to the Raiders. He had a collision, and no one's privy to this collision, but he took a hit kind of similar to what we saw from DeMar Hamlin yesterday. Now, Hayden's was a little bit more vicious. Like, there was a knee right into that area, and it ruined his vena cava. And the vena cava is the main blood vessel that, goes to your heart. Mm-hmm. It's like this large vein that goes to your heart. And he was kind of acting like DeMar Hamlin was, where he was complaining about he wasn't completely out like DeMar Hamlin. He was actually coherent, and he was talking. But he was complaining of chest issues, and Doc O'Shea just realized that this is something very, very serious. Like, we understand that we're chatting and he's breathing and all this, but I think that this has a chance of being very serious stuff. So they took him over to the Houston Medical Center. They found out that he had vena cava, and all of a sudden, within an hour or two of all this, he's having heart surgery. Now, they ended up saving his life, and DJ Hayden would be a first-round draft pick and had a good NFL career. And you're hoping that you get this kind of story with DeMar Hamlin. You're hoping, and I've been looking at Twitter all day last night. I've been looking at it all day today. I'm hoping that all clear, right? Like, we understand that he's in a hospital right now. It's critical condition. We never know what's going to happen. I've been looking at Twitter ever since it happened all day today, hoping that we get news that everything's going to be all right. He's still going to be monitored. He's still going to be at the hospital, all that. But he's going to live. He's going to be fine. And that's, to me, When I saw this yesterday, everything else became secondary. Mm-hmm. Life or death matters more than to play or not to play.
I was just going
to
say.
It matters more than one seed, two seed, home field advantage, all of that. And that moment, life or death takes precedent over everything.
I didn't care at all about the sport. The minute that everything started unfolding, I just cared that this guy was going to be able to breathe on his own again, and he was going to live. And I think that that's where everybody takes the whole fan fanatic perspective too far. When people are constantly worried about how passionate they are about sport. Like, I'm with you. I couldn't sleep last night because I was looking for the one positive. I was, you know, Dr. Norman Chow, who we've had on the show before. I used to have him on a lot of the different shows I had on because Travis Johnson, he was the team physician for the Chargers when Trapp played for the Chargers. And he's now got this thing where he goes on Twitter and he talks directly after injuries happen to talk you through what the possibilities are. He was crying. And he was trying to tell you, look, this wasn't a head injury. This was a blunt force trauma blow to the chest, which can send your heart off of rhythm. It can actually stop it from beating. And then you get other physicians in other different threads trying to chime in, say, this is what's happening when they say his vitals are normal. But when they put the tube in, that's what it's meant to do and all this different stuff. And I'm going, I just need one positive that this kid's going to pull through. I don't care if he plays football again.
For me, that was the first time I can ever recall, like, truly fully leaving the world of sports mentally while watching a game. And I don't think I was alone there. Like, I think that was, like, I think people truly left it entirely. Like, I remember in that brief period where they're like, everyone's going to get a five minutes to like, prepare themselves to play again. And universally, the reaction was like, no, they can't play this game. And I really can't ever remember being there in a place of like, no, they can't play this. I never remember thinking that.
I think that the minute that I heard 5 minute warm up, and I think, Jeremy, you can speak to this. We've been through these situations before where things happen and you go 5 minute warm up. I mean, the other night, it was the Celtics and the Nuggets, and the rim was off kilter, and they were talking about a five-minute warm-up, and it takes you out of the mentality, and it could possibly create injury. Well, that was a rim. We're talking about a guy who had CPR performed on in front of the entire both benches. Everyone was watching this. How in the hell can you ask these guys in 5 minutes' time to go out and try and take this game seriously when they can't erase what was going on that they couldn't unsee on the field? And I really give credit to both coaches. The fact that both coaches got together regardless of what was being said and what was being talked about from a league perspective. And I give Cincinnati a lot of credit being at home, but being able to go over, Zach went over there and he basically, you could see him talking it over with McDermott and basically leaving it up to McDermott. Like, we shouldn't play this game.
Yeah. I want to get into the 5 minute stuff too. And we're going to, but we have 2 minutes here that just, there's a lot that I have to say about that. Some people on the HRMP listener line are bringing up Hank Gathers. And I remember that Hank Gathers, I don't remember it happening. But I've of course, read the stories about how he collapsed on the court. Multiple people texting in saying they immediately thought of Hank Gathers. You remember that?
My buddy who I interned with the Portland Trailblazers, was the play-by-play guy for Loyola
Marymount. Oh, wow.
And obviously he'll never forget it. But, yeah, the fact that he was that close to it and then watching documentaries and interviews and Bo Kimble and all of that, I mean, that was just absolutely tragic. And it, you know what? I didn't really think about it till you just brought it up, that was one of those moments. And it was, yeah, I mean, Hank Gathers was all world.
Yeah.
And the fact that during a game, he just basically, I think it was a made free throw, he went back and collapsed at midcourt getting back on defense. And it was very eerily similar, yes.
Yeah, I remember reading about it and, like, you know, being a student of the game. And he had I don't remember the teammate's name, but didn't he have one teammate that shot a free throw, like his first free throw every game, he shot it left-handed or something like that?
Honor of him in the tournament and tournament. Yeah, Bo Kimble would shoot his first free throw left-handed for Hank.
Josh and Beaumont, Hamlin playing for the Bills may have benefited him medically. I don't know if any of the same medical personnel are still there, but the Bills organization dealt with Kevin Everett's in-game life-threatening injury in 2005. I don't think it is the same training staff. The only reason that I say that is because I know that Sean Gibson used to be the head athletic trainer for Buffalo. I don't know if he even dates back to 2005. Sean Gibson left Buffalo to go to New Orleans. The only reason I know that is because Sean Gibson's a former Houston Cougar. Mm. But he's now with the Saints. He's not with Buffalo. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's get into that five-minute warning thing, because there is some controversy on, did the NFL really do that? Troy Vincent, who works for the NFL, said no, although Joe Buck mentioned it like four different times, and Joe Burrow was warming up. Joe Burrow was throwing a football. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, the five-minute thing that we heard discussed yesterday during Monday Night Football, Joe Buck said it. I didn't listen back, but I saw some people talking about and some videos of Joe Buck doing it. Uh-huh. There's that dude on Twitter who like always clips calls, like radio calls, ESPN calls, things like that. And he put together four different times when Joe Buck, during Monday Night Football last night, mentioned that there was a five-minute warning and the teams were going to play after a five-minute you know, delay or whatever. Lemmy on Twitch is saying that, that is standard. He said, the NFL is getting raked for not calling sooner, but I'll tell you from experience, it takes a while. The five-minute thing is a standard for injury. Once they realize what happened, they were calling the teams, family, coaches, NFL, PA, etc. All of that could be true. And I'm going to maybe give the benefit of the doubt to the NFL, give the benefit of the doubt to Roger Goodell, and I will preface it by saying this. If Roger Goodell and the NFL were trying to get the Bills and the Bengals yesterday to play after a five-minute delay, the NFL should be embarrassed of themselves, and we should be taking a hard look at the NFL and Roger Goodell, if it is true. And now, look, Troy Vincent, who works for the NFL, has come out and disputed that. He has said that that is not the case, that there was never a five-minute thing. It looked a lot like, after Joe Buck said that there's going to be a five-minute delay and they were going to resume play, the ESPN showed Joe Burrow grabbing a football and tossing a football, and it seemed after that that Zach Taylor and McDermott had the conversation. They're like, look, we're not going to play right now.
Well, let's take it just a little bit in between there. You're right, because Burrow started warming up, and that's when Stephon Diggs went from crying and emotional to trying to bring the whole team together and pump them up and fire them up like they got to play a football game again. So I truly believe that that was a decision that was discussed, and they were ready to give them 5 minutes without letting them go to the locker room, and they did plan on playing that game.
Now, more should come out on this. Like, we're probably going to hear players being asked, and they're going to address the media at some point over the next coming days, where we should get more information on this. Maybe it's as innocent as the official saying that this is standard operating procedure with a player who gets carted off, ambulanced off, whatever, that we have 5 minutes to get the teams warmed back up, and then maybe somebody else stepped in and go, no, the situation is too severe. We're not doing that. We're going to operate opposite of standard. Maybe that exists. Maybe that is possible. I hope that is the case, because I don't want to live in a job that we're doing where we talk about sports from noon to three in this type of world, basically, where you have the NFL operating where the game is larger than life.
Yep.
If they were operating, because we don't know what's going to happen with DeMar Hamlin. We don't know a lot right now. We certainly didn't know a whole lot 1 second after he was ambulanced off the field in Cincinnati. I don't want to support a league, a commissioner that was trying to order the Bills and the Bengals to play after a five-minute warning when they didn't know if DeMar Hamlin was going to live. So I hope it's not true.
And I agree with you, Jeremy. And here's the other thing. If we use precedents to try and give possibilities to what actually went down, the fact that when there's a lightning delay, and we've had them in the NFL this year, and they've postponed a game for more than an hour because of the fact that there was lightning in the area and they were concerned. If you're concerned about people's well-being getting struck by lightning in a stadium, you damn well should have more concern for the two teams that are on the field, what they witnessed, the fact that one guy might lose his life at the very best case scenario. He was going to the hospital in an unknown condition, and you can't give them more than 5 minutes?
Yeah, see, that's why I hope. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in this hope. But I'm hoping that it was standard operating procedure for that moment, and then that somebody with a brain stepped in and go, this is not happening right now. Because, like, you point to the lightning thing. The lightning has a very specific rule. There's no gray area. Like, I don't know the NFL's radius, but usually, like, in college sports, it's like a 6 to 8 mile radius. And for every lightning strike in that radius, there's a 30-minute delay. Any sort of lightning strike in that radius within the delay, it adds another 30 minutes to the count. So it's very, very specific. I am hoping that this is the case for the NFL. You have somebody carted off and a severe injury, that the operating procedure is 5 minutes. That's the way we do it. Maybe the officials said this. I don't know. I just hope that it's the operating procedure, and then somebody stepped in and go, guys, we're not going to do this right now.
I hope
that's what comes out.
The head official seemed like he was on board with the two coaches, too, going, I'm not feeling good about this.
And like you said, we didn't know his status in that moment.
Right.
Like, they might have known more on the field, whatever. We still don't know a whole lot today. He's still in critical condition, and I take critical condition very seriously. Whenever Joe Buck said the 5 minutes, and he said it four different times, when he said that the game is going to resume in 5 minutes, my immediate thought, and I don't know how many of you follow wrestling. I did it quite a bit when I was a younger kid. Owen Hart died in a wrestling pay-per-view. The show must go on. The show continued with Vince McMahon. When they said that they were going to play in 5 minutes, I was thinking Vince McMahon, Owen Hart all over again.
I was just thinking verbally, like in the living room by myself, going, they can't play this
game.
Yeah,
I didn't even think it was possible.
There's just no way. When you saw, again, and we talk about the fact that when we've seen through all of our experiences covering sports, watching sports, the thumbs up. When you, and you see the people around when you know it was a very devastating injury, but you get the thumbs up and you take a deep breath and go, at least he's going to be
okay. Conscious.
Right. He's going to be okay. The fact that we were all in limbo watching all of this and then to watch the emotion on players' faces, it's one thing to go, oh man, his season's over. Oh man, that's my boy. And you know, he may never play again, but to see the facial expressions and the body language and realize this wasn't like a blown ACL. This wasn't like tearing up your entire leg or even the severity of like a Dak Prescott injury. This was life and death. Mm-hmm. And you saw that on their faces. There's no way I thought they could play that game. Yeah.
This isn't directly related to the 5 minutes specifically, but a point that I saw yesterday that I thought was fair in the NFL's direction was that you couldn't cancel that game until the ambulance got out of there, right? Like, you don't want to create a mess of traffic before he leaves. And it was noted, they didn't leave right away. They waited in the parking lot for his mom.
Yeah.
So, like, because I did see some people go, like, how did the NFL not act quicker in canceling? And I do think it's fair to say, like, they couldn't. Even if they knew they were going to do it, I think do it, like, actually announcing it needed to wait.
Yeah, that's a good point from a logistic, bigger picture than the actual game. That is a really good point. I actually took some, like, I liked that the ambulance was not leaving quickly. Because the times that I've seen when ambulances do not leave immediately, at that moment, it's like, oh my goodness, we have to get him to the hospital right now. And we found out later that they restored his heartbeat before he got into the ambulance. Yep. So I actually took the ambulance not leaving right away as a bit of a good sign. That means, okay, we kind of, it's a critical situation, it's a crisis, but we kind of have it in control. Like, we feel good with where we're at, and we don't think he's going to lose his life from the moment that he's in this ambulance to the hospital. So I took that as a good sign. I've seen that before with a neck injury.
You're right, because the best good news that I got looking and searching for anything positive was when they finally announced early this morning that they had resuscitated his heartbeat in the ambulance. Because then I was like, oh man, because I'm thinking CPR.
I read before they put him in the ambulance on the field.
Because I know that they tried one time to put him in the ambulance, then they put him back on the field, which was not a good sign, because that means they really got to work on him again and use the defib or whatever, or CPR, whatever they had. But the fact that when you saw, again, these Twitch chats with these cardiac doctors and everything going, hey, look, this is what happens. Like, the reason why everybody was bummed out and freaking out when there was no press conference last night, doctors were saying, once you put him in a medically induced coma and get the tube down his throat and everything like that, they need sometimes 48 to 72 hours before they take him out of the coma to see how the body fully reacted. Because the one doctor that I was talking to this morning in the gym says, as far as he has always been instructed and told and gone through, 11 minutes is when, if they reach the 11-minute mark, no matter if he's breathing or not, or his heart's beating or not, basically you're not dealing with a good situation.
Yeah.
And he said, I had heard the max that they were dealing with was 9. Well, of that 9, you don't know how much of it was them trying to resuscitate him or dealing with some of the other stuff too. So I just felt that was positive. Like, the fact that I'd heard it happen, he had his heartbeat back in the ambulance was a huge, like, gasp of positivity for me.
The NFL has come out with a couple of news items. The first one is about the resumption of the game. They will not be resuming the game this week. So any thought that perhaps Cincinnati and Buffalo could play Wednesday or Thursday, because we know Buffalo boarded the flight back home, because I was thinking about the logistics of it too, from like being around teams, knowing that in a road game, you're going straight to the airport after the game, hopping on the charter and heading home.
They delayed the plane to the middle of the night, and several players stayed while the
the charter left.
Yeah, so they ended up, most of the players, I believe, going home. But the NFL has issued a memo just moments ago saying that the Bills and Bengals game, Week 17 game, will not be resumed this week. They have not made a decision regarding the possible resumption of the game at a later date, and the league has not made any changes to the Week 18 regular season schedule. We can have the football side of the conversation if you'd like. I also want to have the conversation about the ESPN coverage of the way that they handled what happened yesterday. And also, look, you know, DeMar Hamlin's still in critical condition, and we're still hoping for the very best of him. One great thing from humanity that came out of that yesterday that we want to get to as well. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
ESPN coverage yesterday, I thought that they did a good job, given the situation. Buck Aikman, in the, of course, in the booth. You had Scott Van Pelt after the fact with Ryan Clark in there. Who else did
enjoy him?
Can
I just tell you that Ryan Clark was awesome?
I haven't always been. I think Ryan Clark's good.
I love him.
Ryan Clark is good. I thought yesterday he was phenomenal.
The fact that you, and he even said this, he said, for whatever the reason for me to be doing this tonight, when people don't realize he lost multiple organs because of an issue he had with altitude playing in Denver, and he could actually talk about teammates coming to see him in the hospital, not knowing if he was ever getting out of the hospital or if he was going to make it, and then kind of correlating it and going through what he saw happen last night, I thought was just amazing. Because what I saw was, and I can't blame them for this. That's why you can't be critical of them. I mean, at some point, obviously, everybody's going to be. Everybody has an opinion. But the fact that certain people handle these kind of things better than others, and certain people feel like they can talk through and it helps, and other people, like you could tell Booger McFarland last night, he didn't want any part of it, and I don't blame him. As an ex-player, to see this unfolding in front of him in real time, the last thing on his mind was how is he going to comment to the audience watching on ESPN and ABC.
Yeah, I thought that the ESPN did a really good job. And obviously there's some fill in the moment, right? Like Susie Colbert going back to the studio with Booger. Then whenever you turn it over to ESPN and you have Van Pelt with Ryan Clark, and then you brought in Adam Schefter, Lisa Salters on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. That's something that you can't plan for. Like, you're never planning for that situation. All of a sudden, you have this big, you know, run of show. You have this big production for how you're going to handle Monday Night Football. It's down to a T. It's down to a second. We're going to go to, you know, break with the second media timeout of the second quarter. We know who we're going to at halftime. We know when we're transitioning over to SportsCenter. And then all of a sudden, you have three quarters wiped away because of what happened, and then it's a very serious situation. I thought the coverage of it was outstanding. I'm not always high on ESPN's coverage. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that, working for ESPN Radio. I thought the way that they handled it yesterday, and look, it's not going to be perfect. I don't think everybody was perfect in that spot yesterday. You can't expect perfection. I thought the coverage was overall great.
I absolutely. And the fact that you had someone basically in the middle of it in Lisa Salters watching it when the meetings were happening outside the locker rooms, and the Bengals coaching staff and players going over, the captains they later found out of the Bengals going over to discuss it with the Bills, the head official right there in the middle of it, everything you saw, you had that. And then you also, because it's such a difficult being behind the scenes for so long as I was, the producer and the director, you're learning on the fly what's the moxie of the people you're dealing with.
Yeah,
we know, like, dealing with players, some guys can take the butt chewing and getting up in their face. Other people need to be coddled. Or in this case, some people can talk their way through it and basically can stay in the moment to give you guys all the information as an audience. Other people are so enthralled in it and caught up in it and emotional about it, they can't talk about it. And the fact that you could basically on the fly get who could talk, who couldn't, and get the right people talking at the right time. Credit to them for staying on the air as long as they did.
Improvising in a very serious moment. Improvising is hard enough to do. Talking in a serious moment is hard to do. Combining both of them together is almost impossible. And I thought that a lot of the people that were part of that coverage yesterday were great. Lamont tweeting in, instead of people looking for something to be upset with the NFL about, how about praising and saluting the paramedics that revived him? Absolutely true. That's a great point, Lamont. I think that we should be in the family of DeMar Hamlin earlier today through the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. They thanked the Buffalo Bills organization, the training staff, the paramedics, all the doctors, all the hospital workers that were there. You're right. That should be at the forefront. Now, the NFL is the big brand. We're sports talk radio, so we're going to have opinions about the NFL. But, Lamont, you're 100% right. The most important people are the ones that you're referring to, the paramedics, the support staff, the doctors, everybody involved in trying to save DeMar Hamlin's life, and hopefully they did.
And it also brings into question, and Pink Valkyrie, Christina, threw this my way on Twitter, and it is a question worth asking from league to league. Defibrillators should be mandatory on the sidelines of every sporting event. Yep. There's been too many instances where there's been too many issues, whether it be close calls or otherwise, where it is imperative because you never know when you're going to need it, but when you do need it, if it's not there, it could be life and death. It could be a tragedy. I had it in my gym one night where a guy was lifting weights, and he went into cardiac arrest, and they have defibrillators on the wall, and two athletic trainers in front of the entire gym revived him until the paramedics got there, saved his life. It's like, it's really a no-brainer. I understand it's a small expense at a certain point, but especially when you're dealing with professional athletes and money shouldn't be an object, defibrillators should be mandatory in every professional sports arena and venue.
I think that they are. I don't know with a high degree of confidence because I don't pay attention to that. Maybe I take it for granted, to be absolutely honest with you, but I believe that they're in every professional stadium. I honestly think they're in every college stadium too. And I know that for every college game, even high school games, that paramedics have to be on the scene. Like Dick Willie's asking us on Twitch, twitch.tv, ESPN 97.5, how many times have you seen an ambulance on the field? On TV, I've seen it a couple times. I've never seen it in person, but I've seen players going into the ambulance. I have seen Lifelike come onto the field once at a high school game at Turner Stadium 10 years ago, maybe. At every event, every college event, and I'm pretty sure even at every high school event, there has to be paramedics on the scene, and I'd be shocked that those paramedics didn't have that.
See, the question is, because I have someone that's a friend of mine in local law enforcement that texted me right at the start of the show and said, with all the technology the NFL has, you mean to tell me they do not have defibrillators on the field? I don't know the answer to that because I don't know if the defibrillator was on the field or they got it in the ambulance when they brought the ambulance on the field. I just would hope in this day and age that defibrillators are mandatory wherever any sporting event is played.
They might be high school. They might be in the ambulance. Like, I don't know where they are.
I definitely think they're on the ambulance. I just would think that there was one on the field that one of the training staff could just grab off the bench and race out to midfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I know that Kelvin Sampson was talking earlier today, and I was reading some of the tweets and quotes, and he says that their athletic trainer, John Houston, like teaches the players how to break the glass to use that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, and that's not the same for every, you know, program, right? Like, some people will probably look at that. Some people probably won't. I thought that this was obviously very, very cool, the story that came out of it, not the DeMar Hamlin situation. But all of a sudden, making the rounds yesterday on Twitter after DeMar Hamlin went down, cardiac arrest, critical condition, some people caught wind that he has a GoFundMe for a community toy drive. The Chasing M's Foundation community toy drive organized by DeMar Hamlin. And this is like, we see a lot of negative, right, in this world. We live in a world now where social media is huge, and we see bullying, online bullying. People think they can say whatever they want. They feel like they can put down people. They feel like they can say whatever they want to somebody and totally disregard how that person's going to feel about what is said, right? But there is still times whenever, like, humanity makes me smile. Like society makes me happy to be in the society. Because of this DeMar Hamlin, this was a sign of it yesterday. DeMar Hamlin, the Chasing M's Foundation Community Toy Drive, he had a goal of $2,500. $2,500, yep. Putting together this GoFundMe, trying to raise funds for a community toy drive. So kids who don't have toys can have toys. Like, seems like every kid should have a toy, right? Especially just coming off the holiday season. Every kid should have something to look forward to when Christmas rolls around, when the holidays roll around. People caught wind of this $2,500, a lot of it because of social media. The GoFundMe now, last I looked, was approaching $4 million.
Yep, that's true.
$4 million. So we see a lot of the negatives in humanity. We see it a lot, too, just being in the roles that we are. We hear negativity all the time. Seeing something like this, it kind of just re-energizes you about where humanity's at. That for all of the ugly that we see at times, how good it can be at times as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that when you think about this, the other thing that I thought was what where humanity really was shining last night was, instead of worrying about all the people that were searching social media to see a replay of what when he collapsed, the people that took the time, there was one of the Bills announcers that does their shows that showed an interview with him, with Micah Hyde, the safety that is out for the year with some medical issues, and him talking about how Micah's been such a guiding force and a big brother. Then they showed right before the game, last night, him coming up to his mom and giving her a big hug and hugging all of his relatives, and them saying, these are the kind of things, and then they showed video of him with his charity going, instead of worrying about trying to see another replay of him collapsing, get to know the guy that is more, gives you more reason to really care about his well-being because he's a good person.
Yeah. I thought that was, I mean, I love seeing that from the like just the human element too. I retweeted it yesterday. You can find it. It's everywhere on Twitter. It's going to go north of $4 million, which is awesome. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Happy New Year, Gary.
Hey, Happy New Year to you guys. Hey, what I was seeing and hearing and listening, I noticed that most of the athletes, I watch ESPN from First Take and all those people, and the one thing I'm talking about having in common, when successful or not, they are not one of them on there talking negative about anybody's tweets or whatever. Their sole focus is on this guy and what have happened and the tragedy. And even with T. Higgins, a lot of people with not just time on their hand are just criticizing tweets like the Skip Bayless or whatever. These successful, rich people, those high-ranking people from basketball players to hockey and to ESPN and all of them, they are all on one accord. And it's not this talk show, but I listened to a couple of them, and they're going back and forth analyzing tweets and things like that instead of just the primary focus. It just goes to show the low men on the totem pole have nothing better to do but criticize instead of just galvanizing.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Gary.
I think that's a good point. You know, I think that,
I mean,
it's kind of deeper than what I wanted to go, but from like a holistic point of view, I think that's where we are. Like, I think that's where we are in 2023, where it's a lot easier to criticize than praise. Like, it's much easier to do that.
I like criticize instead of galvanize as a way to sum it up, but there's too many people in society today that maybe as a way, because they're not great at expressing their emotions, they're looking to find that kind of one thing that they can gravitate towards, that they can lash out at so that they can release. And you saw a ton of that on social media because not everybody's perfect. And I don't know about you, and you know that I've come full circle on social media and Twitch and texts and everything else. But like, there were so many things that I wanted to put out last night and I just couldn't because I felt like the only thing that matters is this kid's health.
Yeah.
And that nothing I'm going to do or say is going to make a difference except for like some of the positivities of the video of who the kid is and even more reason to really, you know, pray for this kid. But there's other people that just can't stop. But just like we say, sometimes the ESPN guys, there's some people that can talk through it and it's kind of calming to them. Other people feel like they can tweet and it's doing something for them too. I stayed away from it. The most important thing, whether it's what we were talking about, what unfolded with the NFL and the game decision, or just anybody watching it, I don't care if this kid plays football ever again. I just wanted him to be okay.
Yeah. You know what I want? You know the one thing that I want more than anything else? Because Corey just texted in, just saw that the toy drive GoFundMe is now at 4+ million, still climbing. Amazing to see that. Is I want DeMar Hamlin to, you know, regain consciousness, yep, be good, be out of the woods on all of this, and then somebody tells him that your toy drive's up to over $5 million, and just have him smile. Like, that's all that I want. That's what I want more than anything else.
He is now, as they just gave the update after the NFL, they're saying he is, I don't know what if he's still in critical condition or not, but he's in an ICU. That's where they have him right now, currently. But I hope that there's going to be something positive that comes out of this in the very near future so we can hear just that he is going to regain consciousness and he can hear how many people were behind him for all of this and pulling for him.
We're going to get back to DeMar Hamlin in the 2 o'clock hour. We are going to try to bring some levity to your day. Sports Talk Radio should often do that. We're going to try to do it whenever we come back. Our mailbag Monday. I understand it's Tuesday. We weren't working yesterday, even though we should have been. So we do our mailbag Monday coming up next. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.